Our scripture lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 16, beginning at the 19th verse. We noticed earlier, towards the end of the summer, when I was preaching through the chapters in Luke 12, 13, 14, 15, moving our way, that some of the stories and things that Jesus said were really hard to understand. And so this morning is one of those. I'm grateful for Amanda and Lee being the ones to reflect on the scripture because it is a hard one. So here is the story of a rich man and Lazarus, Luke chapter 16. Jesus says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died, and he was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he's comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets, and they should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amanda Lee, welcome.
Good morning. Peace and grace be with you this morning. Before Lee and I start, I always find it helpful to pray. So if you'll join us in prayer. Loving Creator, we are grateful to be in community. God, we ask that for the next few moments, you calm our wandering minds, you open up our hearts, and you speak the truth to us. In your name we pray. Amen. So I asked Lee this morning to pick the scripture, and when he suggested we stay with the lectionary, I was a little concerned. And I have to tell you that this is not necessarily always my favorite scripture. And I find that when that is the case, that there is usually a story that needs to be told that I am ignoring. And indeed, that's the case this morning. But before we go into the Lazarus story, in case you're new to who we are, I do want to tell you just a little bit about Common Cathedral. Common Cathedral is an outdoor church. It is a community on the streets of Boston. We build intentional spiritual community, and we are radically welcoming. Through the weeks, we have five main programs: outdoor ministry, where our staff, our ministers, they are on the streets of Boston, meeting new people and checking on our congregation members, no matter where they live. Common Cathedral, it is on Sundays every Sunday for the last 20 years, rain or snow or shine, or actually today, which is beautiful. People are out on the commons worshiping, having fellowship and lunch together. City Reach, a weekend in Boston, housed and unhoused coming together to learn about homelessness directly from those that experience it. Common Art, every Wednesday we have an art program. The doors are opened at Emmanuel Church and all are welcomed to create beautiful art. And Boston Warm, our newest program, which we inherited about a year ago, which is a day shelter twice a week that's opened for all to come in off the streets to have a cup of coffee, to find much needed rest and a community who will love you unconditionally. And back to this morning's scripture, to the parable that does indeed need to be told. As the scripture was first read, did you feel the pressure? Did you feel the pressure of that rich man, of the 1%? Was the pressure felt both of commission and of omission? What do I do? Do I do the unjust? Do I lock the door and go back to my feast? What do I not do? Do I do nothing while hungry people are begging for my scraps? And if we expand our GPS, if we make the scope of this story a bit larger, if we look at the nation, our country, a global perspective, do I do enough? Just living in the United States often make us better than many. But there is more to this story than just self-judgment, and I think that's the story that needs to be told this morning. Luke is actually talking more than just about personal wealth. There is a rich man living high. Every meal is like Christmas and Thanksgiving. Everything he wears is nice. Imagine your fanciest clothes every single day of the year. And when he is going from one nice meal to the next and he's wearing his finest clothes, that is when he sees Lazarus. Or does he? Broken, beaten with sores, covered in dirt, the rich man ignores it. Ignores Lazarus, and he does not see. There's an absurdity to this that I can't comprehend. Walking by so much pain, not seeing our brothers and our sisters, stepping over somebody in clear hunger, in need of medical care. I can't imagine. And neither could you, or we wouldn't be here this morning wrestling with this scripture. Today's challenge is not of what we have to give, and we should, Luke is clear about that, but rather to see the least of those among us, the poor, the homeless, the widowed, the orphaned, and if we don't, the scripture is clear. But the message today, again, is not about distribution of personal wealth, but rather are we seeing? Really seeing our neighbors, not walking by, but seeing the child of God among us all, up front and personal. And that's what we're going to do this morning with Lee. We're going to get up front and personal, and we are going to see Lee, and we are going to love Lee. So join me in asking Lee some up front and personal questions. Lee, I'm going to start easy. Lee, what's your name?
Lee.
All right. Done. That was your easy one.
Okay.
All right. Lee, you're way taller than I am. Lee, how did you first come to Common Cathedral?
I've told this story many times. I used to go to a church in Boston, and I got asked to leave this church because I looked different. The way I looked different was I was homeless. I carried two backpacks everywhere I went because it was everything I owned. I had hair down to my shoulders, and I wore a Harley Davidson t-shirt and blue jeans to church. And as I got asked to leave the church, the people that asked me said, look around the church and you'll see why you look different. Everybody there had a white shirt or a button-down shirt on and a tie. The men, the women were dressed really nice. I didn't have it, so I didn't belong. And what happened was every Sunday when I'd go to church here, people would move forward and they wouldn't sit with me. And at the time, I told these two gentlemen that didn't bother me because I didn't go to church to be with them. I went to church to get a good feeling in my heart. And as I was asked to leave, I had to ask them a real important question. I asked them if they were Christians, and they said yes, and I said no. And the reason I said no was because I don't believe a Christian would ever ask another one to leave a church or ask anyone to leave a church, no matter how they dressed or how they looked. God doesn't care about outside appearances. He cares about what's in our heart. And that's basically how I found Carmel Cathedral. I walked into the middle of the service, and the pastor, Debbie Little, was doing a gospel reading, and she stopped. And she came over and stood in front of me. And this woman, a very small woman, stood in front of me and said, "Sir, you look like you need a friend." I was really angry and really hurt, and I asked her to step aside, and she wouldn't do it. 17 years ago is when this happened. Today, I'm forever grateful to her and to Carmel Cathedral. It opened my eyes up to a whole lot that people are accepted at this church, no matter where you come from, or where you've been, or what you've done. And it's kind of sad that other churches, not all churches, but a lot of churches, don't feel that way. And it goes both ways. The homeless, a lot of times, aren't comfortable coming inside. So having an outside church made them feel a whole lot more comfortable. Plus, I think it's easier for God to see us with no roof over us and no walls around us. Even though I know he's here with us today, I also know that when I'm outside, he's closer to me than he is right now. And I feel, it's funny, I feel a whole lot safer sometimes outside than I do inside.
Thank you. Lee, you mentioned that you found Carmel Cathedral while you were homeless. Can you talk about the circumstances around being homeless?
Sure. I came home from the service, 1983. Came home with a wife and four kids. And things weren't really good for me when I came home. My family really didn't want me around. I was kind of asked to leave, and I left and went on the street. And periodically, I'd go home to see my wife and my kids. There just was nothing there for me. I loved my wife, I loved my kids, but I didn't know how to be there for them. Uncle Sam, the military, really changed my life. I wasn't the person that I am today when I came home. I spent a lot of time in and out of the VA getting help for my problems that I had when I came home, and fortunately, I got things under control. But when I first came home, I couldn't do that. And I chose to go to the street because I was afraid of being at home. It sounds strange, but the things I saw in the military, the things I heard about, the things I had to do, really changed my life. Today, I'm not that person, though. God has changed my outlook on life dramatically, and I'm very grateful for that.
And how long were you homeless?
I spent 27 years as a homeless person.
And now that you are housed, how come you keep coming back to Carmel Cathedral?
That's simple. That's my home. The church made me welcome when other people made me unwelcome. My feeling for the people at the church that asked me to leave, and this is kind of funny, they never got a chance to know me. They never got to know the person that I am today, and that was really sad for them. I think it was more their loss than mine, because I found a church that welcomed me no matter what. And I love my church. Although I do have something I need to share. This is actually my last season, my last year that I'm going to be here. I'm moving to Virginia. I'm moving home with my family. And I'm excited about it, but I'm also nervous about it. My daughter and my 7 grandchildren have opened their home up, and I'm actually going to go and live with them. So this season is my last city reach and my last year that I will be around this area. And I'm going to make the most of it. I made a lot of friends throughout the 17 years I've been at Carmel Cathedral, and I'm very, very grateful for that.
Can you talk more about City Reach? What is City Reach? How has that played a part in your life?
Sure. 13 years ago, I started working with youth groups, talking about what it's like for the homeless, the struggles that we have or we've had on the street. My feeling is if you want to learn about homelessness, you talk to a homeless person. The kids that came in, the group leaders that came in, I always sat with them. I always shared my life with them. I'd open up my life to them and tell them things that I've done, things that I've been through. And I shared it openly with no regrets. Today I still share that my life with people, because I think people need to know what the struggles are out there for the homeless, and who better to share it with than young people, because they're the ones that are going to make a difference. I used to tell people I did it with hopes that nobody else ever ends up homeless. You know, I know that that's not something that's really fathomable. It's not something that can happen, because you never know if you're going to end up homeless. I remember as a kid, my family walking through the city, and my parents would say, "Don't look at the homeless, walk right by." And I remember saying, I would never be a homeless person. I learned you can't say something like that, because you never know what could happen. And that's one of the things I share with the youth groups, because they're young, they need to know. You know, 27 years on the street, I met more wonderful people on the street and off the street. I have no regrets whatsoever to my life. My life has been really full and really good. Carmel Cathedral, City Reach. City Reach is a great program if you want to come and learn what homelessness is about, because you're going to see it. The tour that we take the kids on Friday night, I always go to the same spot. I go to a place where I slept for 13 years. No matter what the weather, hot, cold, it didn't matter. I slept in the same spot. And when I first started sleeping there, I was the only person there. 2 or 3 years later, there were 20 to 25 people crowded into this one little corner. And we used to sleep side by side. And I remember one night, and this was really funny, when people first started coming to the spot to sleep, I remember somebody snuggling up against me. And my first instinct is, uh-oh, somebody's trying to hurt me, and I got ready to protect myself. And I rolled over and I looked, and it was a man and a woman and another man, and they're there. We're looking for a warm spot, and this looks like a safe place. We've seen you here many a night. And I welcomed them, but I told them, 6 inches apart is wonderful. I don't need you right on top of me. But as time went on and we got to know each other, 6 inches got shorter and shorter, and we used each other for warmth. Now, these are the things I learned. These are the things I share with the kids that come around to City Reach, because this is how it is. You know, I tell people I was a happy homeless person, and I explain that I wasn't happy to be homeless, but I was happy. I kept a happy outlook on everything because I wanted to stay positive. There was no sense in being miserable, because misery isn't going to change what's out there. Being happy can help to change it a little bit at a time. And one of the things I share with the kids at City Reach, I draw a smiley face, and I know a lot of you have heard about this. We have, yep, there's a few floating around here right now. After the service, I actually have a Sharpie in my pocket. If anybody would like a smile, come see me. I'll gladly give you one. And I'll gladly share the story at that time about the smile. It's a real important story. People need to smile more than they need to walk around like, the frown doesn't work. The smile does work. You know, God smiles down on us. Why can't we smile back? And I guess basically.
So one of the things that, thanks to this congregation and the support from last year, that we were able to do was provide joy to our community. And joy is so important when you're living on the streets. We need to smile more and have joy. Some of the things we were able to do was have a Christmas party that was really an amazing Christmas party. We were able to provide things that our community was able to take home with them that we wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. And we were also able to continually purchase our crosses. Hold your cross up, Lee. Okay, Lee's cross, how many years have you been wearing it?
17.
17 years. Two. See the difference? Look at this. Isn't this amazing? 17 years on the streets. It gets really shiny. 2 years, not so shiny. So I got a ways to go. But can you talk more about the cross and what this means to you?
Sure. This particular cross was given to me my first day at Common Cathedral. And it was kind of an interesting situation because I don't wear jewelry or anything like that. But this woman gave me this cross and said, if I look at it daily, it'll help me to get a good feeling in my heart. It'll give me peace, and it does. I've given away thousands upon thousands of these crosses, and I can't give mine up. Actually, I did. I gave it away once. I gave it to a girl that I was in love with. And I got it back. This cross has saved my life. That's how important this cross is to me. It gives me hope. And it helps me to keep my faith in God and my belief that there is a God. You'll see these crosses all over the place. They're everywhere now. The neat part about it, though, is you can't buy one of these. You need to come to our church or our City Reach program, and we'll gladly give you one. You know, like I said, I've given away 1,000 of them, well over 1,000 of them over a 17-year period. And like Laura, Amanda was saying, her cross, it's dark colored. I've done nothing to mine. When Debbie gave me this cross, something she said to me was, not only does the cross change, but the person wearing it changes. And she's 100% right on that. The cross has changed color. And I've changed from a person who didn't care about much to a person who cares about pretty much everything now. It's like I tell people all the time, 17 years ago, you wouldn't have liked me. But today, I'm loved by people everywhere I go. And that's a wonderful feeling. I used to be that man that would sit there and watch the people walk by, saying, if they'd only drop something so I could eat. Today, I don't do that. Today I say, you know, I'm one of these people that can bring something out to help other people. And I've done that. And that's a good feeling. You know, I'm very grateful to be here. I get emotional, I'm sorry, but I can't help it. The emotion part is, I think it's God working through me.
Okay, perfect transition. So the God working through you. On the Boston Commons every Sunday, we ask where God is working in your life. When we open up our microphone to where God is working. Lee has worked in my life. Lee, last summer I was pregnant and Lee asked me the Sunday before I delivered, could you please have your baby on my birthday? And I did.
Yes.
Yeah, so my one-year-old shares a birthday with Lee. I really aim to please, let me tell you. But in my life, Lee and all of our congregation members play a huge part in who I am. And this morning's scripture is really challenging us to see and to love. Lee, where has God been in your life this week, and where are you seeing, and where are you loving?
I am just by being around on the street, walking through, seeing my friends that are still on the street, and knowing that there is hope for them. I come out on the street looking for my friends all the time because I worry about them. And I'll bring sandwiches out, and I have friends that tell me, you know, you don't have to do that. There's enough food out here. But my feeling is there's never enough food out there. So to bring a few sandwiches out to the guys that stay out of sight, there are people that just, there are homeless people out there that don't come out where everyday people will see them. And for some reason, I gravitate towards them. I used to think it was just me doing it, but I've learned that God pushes me in that direction because I know the hardship of living with nothing and now having a little bit of something. You know, I struggle all the time, but God helps me through my struggles. I don't know, no matter what happens in my life, God is there for me. I don't have to do it alone. And I've had days where I thought I was alone, and I'll call somebody and they tell me, slow down, take a deep breath, and look up, and God is there. And I do that today. I have one friend in particular that I would call when I have bouts with depression. And I'd tell him I feel all alone. And he'd tell me, well, why do you feel alone? And I'd, because there's nobody here but me. And he'd always tell me the same thing. Just because there's nobody there but you, God is closer to you now than ever before. And I used to tell him, but I can't feel it. I don't feel that way anymore. When I have bouts of depression or I'm feeling alone, I can feel his presence, and I look up and I smile. You know, I'm forever grateful to these people that have taught me that. I used to be kind of hard-headed. I didn't want to learn, but that hard-headedness is gone because it doesn't work. You can't do it alone. Without God's help, I wouldn't be here. And I wouldn't be up here trying to smile. I'm real emotional right now, and this is what happens to me every time I go speak somewhere. I can come in here smiling, cheery, and happy, and I get emotional because I think it's God bringing these feelings out of me, which is a good thing. People used to tell me it was a way of healing. And I used to tell them to tell me that, but I'm not, you know, I'm not in pain. Well, I guess I was, and I never knew it. But this is how pain comes out of me. Where now, when I go home today, I'm going to be a totally different person than when I came here. The relief that comes through me, the good feeling that comes through me, I'll get home, I'll sit down and say, you know, that was a wonderful morning. It was a day that I won't forget. And I don't forget these days.
Amen.
Thank you. When we all go home, we too this evening will remember the blessings of your witness and the power of your story and the encouragement to have hope and joy no matter what. We learn that from you, and we are better for your sharing today. Thank you. We do need reminders all the time of who we are as Christians, of what we believe, why we believe, and how important it is to stand on the solid rock of Christ and our faith in him. I invite you to turn to the blue insert, the Apostles' Creed. This is one way of articulating the Christian faith. And upon which we stand. So I invite you to rise and join me as you are able. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hymn number 315.